Verse number 16, Jesus said, so the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen. And then Matthew 10, verse 22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Not three quarters, not halfway, but to the end. Verse 34, Jesus says in the same chapter, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. How? For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. People don't understand us, why we're doing what we're doing. But there is an endurance that comes with finishing our course and the race. And then if you'll turn to, I just want to lay a foundation here. Romans, the 15th chapter. Verse number 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Sometimes it's not about us. It's about how can I help somebody else. When I was in basic training for 8 weeks, went through a lot. Live rounds shooting over you as you're crawling under barbed wire and gas chambers, all that. But at the very end, there was a physical test, and you had to run a mile within a certain time, or the drill sergeant would keep telling us, you're just going to go right back to the beginning of basic training. You'll do this whole thing over again, 8 weeks. And the very thought was unbearable for some. And yet we knew there were certain guys within our platoon, and after 8 weeks of being in the same kind of pressure, you draw yourself together. And I remember this one particular guy, I knew he wasn't going to make it. So after I ran my mile, I remember going over to him and say, give me your number. We all looked alike, you know, skinheads with green uniforms on. And I put his number on, and I ran another mile in order for him to pass. What I didn't understand at the time was that that's biblical. It's helping somebody who can't help themselves. I'm going to make this. I'm going to make it to the end. And in the process, you're going to help me, and I'm going to help you. Because we all have to get to the finish. It's not a competition, folks. It's a journey that we all have to get to the place where God can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word this morning. Touch it, anoint it, allow it to flow freely, God, that you could fill our mind and fill our heart with your desires and your petitions from your holy word. We'll bless it. It's in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you could also go to Micah. Chapter 7 and verse number 7. Micah was not well received by the people. He was a minor prophet and he had not accomplished a whole lot. And at the very end of the book, in the 7th chapter, verse 7, it says, "Therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemies. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." When I fall, I shall arise. When I was in high school, I wasn't tall enough for basketball. I wasn't big enough at the time for football. But I knew I could do one thing. I knew I could run. It was a 2.5 mile race generally in cross country over hills and valleys and through woods. And it wasn't that I loved to run, but I wanted a cool leather sweater to attract girls. And it worked because the cheerleader is sitting on the front pew this morning. But I remember one particular race. I was very sick that week. I don't know if it was a flu or something. And yet Friday was the race and everybody was counting on everybody to run. I was determined. And I don't remember where I finished within the 100 or so men who or boys who were running in the race. But I remember I finished. I remember crossing that finish line and just falling to the ground. I was so sick, but I was determined, no matter how sick I was, no matter how weak I was going to finish the race. That's the kind of determination that each and every one of us have in order to make heaven our home. And it doesn't matter what the problems are. It doesn't matter what the issues are. I don't care if people have shunned me. People don't like me. I don't care if I get any recognition somehow. I'm going to finish what I started. I'm going to make it all the way home. In 2003, I read this story yesterday. It so inspired me. In 2003, Air Force One slowly rolled to a stop at the Greenville, South Carolina airport. Many dignitaries were there lined up to welcome President Bush at the time. He was to give a speech at the local BMW plant. But as he descended the stairs, he looked for a special guest who had been invited to meet him there, a young man who had been interviewed on NBC Nightly News and Good Morning America. He was Ben Komen. He was a 16-year-old. What was so special about this young man? Well, he was a loser, but he had never won a race. But he was a winner because he always finished every race that he started. And because of that, he was given all kinds of notoriety and fame. When Ben turned one, they discovered that he had cerebral palsy. His brother was fine, but he wasn't. They were very close in age. He and his brother were so intelligent that they made the National Honor Society, but Ben's body couldn't respond quick enough to what his brain cells were telling, the little impulses. His father had run track and cross country, and so when Ben was 13 years old, he decided he wanted to do what his father did. His mother was very fearful that he was going to be rejected, so she called the coach and told the coach, "Here's a young man who can hardly walk. I don't know if he could possibly make the team." And his coach said, "Bring him on." So Ben ran cross country, but he runs with great difficulty. Ben falls down a lot. And when he falls, He falls hard because his brain can't tell his body fast enough in order to hold yourself back. So when he falls, he generally gets hurt. Because of Ben's fall, Ben gets up a lot. He get up and he start running again. And he doesn't want people to help him. According to the article, each time it was a real struggle in order to get up. But getting up isn't all that Ben wanted to do. He wanted to make it across the finish line. When he finally crosses the finish line, he is generally bleeding from many falls. So after everyone has finished their race, about 30 minutes later, Ben can be seen in the distance moving awkwardly towards the goal because he is determined that he's going to finish the race. You know, every morning in Africa, when the sun comes up, a gazelle knows that he's going to have to run faster than the fastest lion if he's going to survive. Every morning in Africa, when the sun comes up, every lion knows he's going to have to run faster than the gazelle or he's going to starve to death. Most of us wake up every morning having to do something perhaps we don't even like to do, but we know we got to get in the race again. We seem to race through each stage of life to get to the next stage of life, and then we keep running and running and running. And we're waiting for our life to get normal, and I've come to the conclusion some years ago, this is normal. All I have to do is keep running, because I got to make it to the end. And we are all in some way handicapped that could take us out of the race, an excuse why we can't run the race that is set before us, but our handicap doesn't really give us an excuse in order to sit down. None of us will stand before the Lord one day and say, well, you know, I couldn't, but God's saying no. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How do you do that? Looking out to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There are some things that you don't look forward to doing, but you do because you know, there's going to be a reward. It was sung about this morning that I'm going to have a crown one day, and the only people who will ever get a crown are those who finish the course, finish the race. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Not everyone has the same race that is set before us. God determines the course that we will run, but there is a finish line for each and every one of us, and we have to follow and finish, endure to the end. That means there's going to be some resistance. Think it not strange, these fire trials that come against us. I've said some years ago, I remember saying, you know, when you have a difficult situation that you really can't comprehend, you don't understand why it's happening to you. I'm living for God, but yet I've got this problem and it doesn't seem to have any kind of solution. I've been praying nonstop for Brother Littles for the last several weeks because I just have a burden for him, struck down in the middle of a great assignment from God with Miller-Fisher syndrome, and now he can hardly see, he can barely walk. He was with us in July, and I don't understand why that has happened to him or perhaps even some of you, but I understand also that God will give you the grace, God will encourage, and it's almost like he's saying, Have you considered my man Job? Have you considered that he will go through some things, and yet they're still going to run the race? They're still going to get up. They're still going to be faithful. Oh, it hasn't gone well for them, but I'm telling you, have you considered my servant? Would you turn to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter? Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 24. Now, to give you a setting, I was in Corinth some years ago, and just down from Corinth, Greece, is Olympia. And every 4 years, they would have a great race in Olympia, and that's really where the Olympics come from. And men would train for literally years in order to run that race. And then at the end of the race, believe it or not, their prize was a parsley crown. Woo-hoo! And only one would get it. And in the town square, they would put a statue of the one who won the race. But all of the others got zip, nada, nothing. And Paul is in that atmosphere, and so he says, hey, consider the race you're in. Verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? They don't slack, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, I know what I'm running for. I know what my goal is. And God's not just going to give one person, because they're endowed with greater abilities, the crown, but every one of us. And so he's saying, you know what? We're not going for a corruptible crown, but an incorruptible crown. So run! Stop licking your wounds. Stop making an excuse. I myself, after I have preach to many, he's saying, I could be a castaway if I just stopped. Listen, in this race of life, we will fall. Frank Sinatra sang a song years ago, that's life, riding high in April and shot down in May. Some of you are looking at me like, who is Frank Sinatra? Well, I'm old, folks. Sometimes we look for someone to help us back up, and then there's nobody else around. Why didn't they call? Why didn't they help? What do you do then? You stop running? Blame your failures on who wasn't there for you? Can I quit because nobody was there? No, no, no. See, we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. If I don't make it all the way, it's going to be my fault. It's not going to be somebody else's fault. Would you turn to John, the 5th chapter? John chapter 5, verse number 4. It's talking about the pool of Bethesda, where there were great healings done when the water was troubled. Verse 4 says, for an angel went down at the certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Now here's our thinking, folks. Just like this man who's been laying there for 38 years, he's just waiting for the wall. He's waiting for the right service. He's waiting for when the Holy Ghost really moves and he wants to get to the altar before anybody else gets to the altar. And the potent man answered him, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, arise and take up thy bed and walk. Hey, listen, the one who troubled the water is standing right in front of you. The Holy Ghost is moving in this service, and you're saying, well, I can't because there isn't anybody to help me to the altar. It's getting quiet in here. But I have no man. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. See, we have to focus on the right thing. Don't focus on me, folks. I'm trying to live the best life that I possibly can. But don't focus on somebody sitting next to you. You ought to focus on Jesus and what he did. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Hallelujah. No pity parties here. When Micah came to the conclusion that there was no one to help him, he said in Micah 7:7, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. He was saying, I tried it all. It hasn't worked, so I'm just going to wait on God. That's it, church. You know, it's not up to somebody else. It's not up to your employer. It's not up to the doctor. It's not up to the lawyer. It's up to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've tried it. I'm just going to wait for Jesus. Glory to God. Some have the attitude that if everybody loves me and everybody helps me and everybody likes me, well, then I'll stay in the church. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, somebody in this church is going to offend you. And there's a good chance that it's going to be me. But it's not because this church is more friendly. It's not because we got a better furniture in here. It's because we're focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ in every service. It's not onto us, but it's onto him that we give glory. No, we're not waiting for people to anticipate our every need. Well, you'll be waiting for a long, long time. If you'll turn to Isaiah 40, please. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Because somebody waited on God. I'm going to wait on God. Isaiah said, when you wait on God, a lift takes place. When you wait on God, you won't get weary. When you wait on God, you won't faint. When you wait on God, you sprout wings and begin to soar with the eagles. You get a little higher. It's the eagles who never have a rainy day because they can get beyond the clouds. Solomon said in Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and rises up again. A just man falleth seven times and he gets up. Glory to God. I know some of you remember Alan Oggs. Alan Oggs has cerebral palsy. He was one of the greatest preachers that I've ever heard. And it wasn't because of his articulation, but he had this ingredient that was so incredible. He was going to deliver the message. And his preaching went around the world. His preaching on James Dobson. He was a Pentecostal, baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And he wrote a book, You Have to Have a Want To. You got to get up. You got to get up. Don't just lay there. Get up! He didn't feel sorry for himself. His mom bought him a bike when he was 6 years old, and he was determined that one day he was going to get on that bike, and he tried, and he tried, and he'd come in with bloody knees and scabs all of the time, and his mother was worried that one day he's never going to do it. But one day he got on that bike, and for some reason everything aligned, everything started, and he started riding his bike, and he rode that bike around the block. And he said, I remember, I must have been about 7 years old, and every neighbor was out on their porch clapping their hands and said, Go, Alan! Go, Alan! He didn't hide behind his handicap, but he prevailed even because of it. Hallelujah. It was after Jesus cleansed the temple of all of those money changers. They made the temple into a place of business. But after he cleansed it, you know what happened? The lame started coming in, and the halt, and the blind. They found access to the temple after Jesus cleansed it. Now the handicapped were welcome into the temple. But before that, no, you had to be perfect in order to come into the temple. In God's world, it was handicap accessible. It was his building code. Anybody who had a handicap, come on in. Isn't it amazing that we pay big dollars to see those who are taller than most, bigger than most, the best of the best athletes? Oh yeah, we want to see them. We'll clap our hands for them, while God paid the greatest price to see the losers win. Who is a winner here this morning? The winner is the one who finishes the race, but not at the expense of somebody else. Micah 7 and 8 says, Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Winners simply finish. Winners simply finish. But winners rarely finish alone. We are the church for the reason that we help each other to finish our race. Without it, it's not going to happen. There's perhaps not a baptism that I do that I don't tell people that if you don't become a part of the body, you will not make it all the way, because you can't run this race by yourself. If you cut the little finger off, the whole body hurts, but the little finger will be thrown in the trash. It will never last because it needs the nourishment that comes from the body. I need you and you need me. I am my brother's keeper and you are your brother's keeper. And together we're going to finish the course. The point of the matter is this. It doesn't matter if you finish first. It doesn't matter if you finish last. What really matters is that you finish. It matters that we finish our course. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, Know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run. that you may obtain. Hallelujah. There were so many times when I was running cross country, 2.5 miles isn't that far, but when you're running with everything that you have, there were so many times that my body would say, well, just stop for a minute. Maybe if I could just sit down and then I'll have more energy. Now that is a lie from the pit. I just pull back. I'm going to take it easy for a little while. You see, you'll never get back in the race, because what the enemy wants you to do is pull back, stop running, stop walking, sit down, lay down, and die. I shall rise. In other words, this world only gives a prize to the best, but God gives great reward, not a parsley crown, but a crown of righteousness to all those who finish the race. If you'll turn to 2 Timothy. 4. Verse number 5. It says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Can you imagine? I've often thought it'd be nice to shake President Bush's hand. I thought I was going to at one point, and then something came up at the White House, and our apostolic coalition couldn't get in to see him. To shake his hand would have been a wonderful thing, because he's a man of faith. But can you imagine that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to hand each and every one of us a crown? And all he's saying is, finish. Finish what started. I'm going to do everything. I have gone to prepare a place for you. That was Calvary, so you could be in the race. And I am the author and I am the finisher of your faith. But you got to keep your eyes on me. Don't keep your eyes on the people. Don't keep your eyes on the world. Don't keep your eyes on the doctor. Keep your eyes on me. Paul finished his course. He kept the faith. But it was a struggle from time to time, but there were saints there that would help him, he said. Do you know of somebody who has struggled or stumbled? Could you help them up and encourage them to the finish line? I think there's some reward that we get within our own lives just by helping somebody make a meal, help them move, do something, teach them a Bible study, reach out to them, pray for them, call them, touch them, tell them you're glad that they're here. Ben's last race was his best race. It was his best time. It was 38 minutes, yet he was still about 20 minutes behind the very last runner. The sun was setting, but instead of everyone leaving the stands, they all waited in the stand for Ben, the cross, the finish line. And over a small hill a few hundred yards from the finish line, a silhouette of a runner appeared. It was Ben, awkwardly trying to run, had fallen several times. The audience stood to their feet, and behind Ben were all of the runners who had already finished the race, but they ran back to run behind Ben, to encourage him. For his last race, you're going to make it to the finish line. He was bleeding with several falls, yet he was leading a large pack of runners. He was leading a large pack of runners. Is there somebody in here this morning who has been going through some difficult times? Maybe with sickness, maybe with some financial dilemmas within their life. There are numbers of you who are sitting here this morning that have caused me to run faster and with more determination than ever. If you can keep running and being faithful with your problems and going through what you're going through, I'm behind you. I'm going to push you. I'm going to make you cross the finish line because we have to make it together. In fact, there are a whole lot of people, you may not know this, some of you. We have some of you listed on the board, but you may not know this, but there's an entire church that's running behind you. When Ben crossed the finish line, the crowd went wild. He always loses. But he ever, never not finish. He finishes alone. He is the loser who always wins. Always wins. A winner finishes regardless of his difficulties. A winner finishes knowing the sun is setting. Jesus is coming. I said yesterday morning, a relative of somebody in this church just went for food stamps, some assistance, because they had lost their job. And they had to go through an orientation. And in the orientation, they said, well, here's what you can expect is going to happen. But in just a few months, it's going to be required that you're going to have a chip placed in you in order to get assistance from the government. Church, we're closer than ever before. The sun is setting. This would be a horrible time to say, I'm not going to run any longer. A winner finishes knowing a cloud of witnesses is cheering him on. A winner finishes looking for the one who died for them. That's what a winner does. So don't give up. Don't give in. You may fall down, but never lay down. Remember, it won't be the president meeting you on the runway. It'll be the Lord Jesus Christ that'll greet you with a crown. There'll be an angel band and a cloud of heavenly hosts rejoicing simply because you made it to the very end. I'm going to make it, folks. I've determined I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. And all I have to do is keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm not going to keep my eyes on my problems, my difficulties, my unfair situations that happen in life. I'm just going to say, God, you know what's going on, and you're going to be the finisher of my faith. Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God. I don't know what goes on in the mind of a gazelle every morning, but I know he knows that he's going to have to run.